5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Marketing Sherpa Podcast. We're going to have an in-depth marketing discussion about a crucial topic starting now. What do you lead with? Your product, your service, your offering likely has so many different elements of value, but sometimes you only have those few characters in a PPC ad, in a tweet, in a TV ad, in a campaign. So what do you lead with? How do you decide? That's what we're going to talk about today on the Marketing Sherpa Podcast. And joining me right now is Austin McCraw, a man that, I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything good to lead with here. Give me something, Austin.
I was enjoying watching you try to come up with something that was good. Glad to be here. Excited about this topic. I think this is it's a little bit of a scary topic. It's a challenging one. One we get asked often.
So. Now you're scaring the listeners off.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm specifically glad you're here right now in the studio. Let me tell you why.
Why are you glad I'm here?
This is something I read yesterday in the newspaper that got me thinking about what you lead with.
Okay.
So journalism, newspapers are notoriously good at bury the lead, have that right lead in there, right? And what's going on right now in America is that polar vortex.
That's right.
Seen a report a lot. Yep. And that's actually the reason you're here, right? You're supposed to be at an on-site training in a marketing agency in Milwaukee about web optimization.
That's right. I don't know, for the listeners out there, our studio is comfortably located in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, where the weather is wonderful all year round. And so when we have a training event in Wisconsin and the temperatures are predicted to be minus 50, usually that requires some shifting of schedules.
Priorities. Because the bone chilling 34 right now.
Here
in Jacksonville.
Yeah. That's actually really cold for us.
All right. So the negative temperature scared you off. Polar vortex, if you're aware of this, probably hearing this a few weeks later, but there's been a lot of news on this.
What's interesting about this is the polar vortex. Have you ever seen that phrase before? I mean, that's like the new phrase right now, polar vortex.
That's trending everywhere.
It's everywhere. Polar vortex. We need something like that for marketing.
This?
Yeah.
The marketing vortex?
This is the marketing vortex.
I don't know if that's what we want. But anyway, so I saw this. There's a lot of news on polar vortex.
Yeah.
So powerful, it stops Austin from going to Milwaukee to train about web optimization.
That's right.
But so I saw this headline. It's so cold that you shouldn't talk much or breathe.
I saw that too.
Did you see that?
I did. I was telling people about this. They were all laughing at me. But look, it's true. You can't even go outside and talk.
We did think it was a little weak that you couldn't go up and do a training
everyone was criticizing.
But when I read that headline, amongst pool of vortex, all the news that caught my attention, that was a good lead. They could have led with so many different things: the negative temperatures, whatever.
I saw frostbite in seconds. That was the headline I saw,
and that's what shook you to the core.
What do you think? What would you lead with, Dan? Would you lead with the don't even talk, can't even breathe, or would you lead with frostbite in seconds?
Well, this one got my attention.
Yeah.
So first of all, being in Florida, the 34 feels pretty cold now, but this one got my attention because you can't even talk or breathe.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
That's scary.
It is scary.
So really, it's the same thing with our product, right? With what we're marketing. We're not trying to scare the customers. We're not trying to scare them away from doing web optimization trainings to marketing agencies in Milwaukee, like Awesome is scared. We're trying to
empower
them.
We were totally just led into this trap. Did you feel that shift, that big shift there? You just led us. Did you feel that, Cliff?
It's called a natural transition.
You led us right into that.
It's called a natural transition. But there's so many things going on with the weather. They could have led with anything. Leading with frostbite in seconds, you can't even talk or breathe. Wow, that grabs your attention.
I think it's
so
good.
When you're looking at your products and services, how do you decide what to lead? And I think the first question it comes to is who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that would matter a lot. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah,
Austin?
Why do you think that matters?
Well, because I think for different people, for different segments, for different groups, different personas, what you lead with is different. So your product likely has many different elements of value.
Yeah.
Right? So let's talk about cars for a second.
Yeah.
Right. For me, I think if a car company leads with some of the eco-conscious, those types of elements, it's important for me. Zero emissions, those types of things. For you, it's...
So you're saying what you lead with should be tailored towards the motivations or the relevant desires of the prospect you're talking to, or the kind of the prospect type you're talking to.
Oh, it's different for different customer type.
I think you're right. I think probably more, I mean, I don't want to knock your idea, but I think maybe even more important than that, you're right, but that's going to get into value proposition and overall, but you may be dealing with Dan in the morning versus Dan in the afternoon.
By the way, that would be a good show, Dan versus, in the morning. That's our next podcast, but go on.
Versus Dan after this podcast, and he's not going to say yes to anything. I think there's a big factor of where your customer is in their thought process and in the journey. You've got to think about meeting them with what you lead with. So if this is an early conversation with someone, this is your, and when I say early conversation, you're sending an email to a fresh lead or a new list, or, you don't lead with, you know, buy now. I've seen that. We've seen that. You see, we get it all the time. The emails that immediately think we're ready to buy from just a glance at an email. You wouldn't lead with that. You'd lead with something that's more relational, something that's more engaging into a conversation. However, that's not a tried and true principle across all emails. You could have an email that you've been building a relationship with this person for weeks now, and you know that they're ready to buy now, or they're ready to make the big, take the big action, in which you could lead with that.
Well, so it sounds like, let me bring our ideas together.
Does that
together.
Make sense?
I bring things together, Austin. I'm not looking, this is not meant to be combative. I'm right, you're wrong. It's who they are and probably where they are, right? In the thought sequence.
That's
and
right.
So I'll give you an example. I was talking to a company just a few days ago that was looking at doing a value proposition workshop,
something
you might be interested in.
Plug. And he just plugged it.
You too can have Austin McCraw come to your company and argue with you like
Shameless
this
about
the value of your product. No, so they had an overall company website for the overall company, and then they had specific products.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what we talked about in episode 3. And they asked, okay, they do a lot of, Google PPC advertising. They said, where should we drive people? Where should we send them with our messages? Should we send them to the overall page that has these 4 different types of products, or should we send them to an individual product page?
Yeah.
And I was saying is probably depends who they are and where they are in the buying journey. So if they haven't decided yet, for this product, which of these types of products they want, it makes sense to send them more to the overall page where they can see the overall value of the company and decide, some sort of product matrix between them. But if, and you can tell from the searches they're running in Google, from things you know about them, if they're ready for going after a specific type of product, they just don't know which one to pick it, which brand you or your competitors, well then send them directly to that type of product.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. There was a similar situation we had recently with one of our research partners where we were early on testing with them. They have a product that it's an informational product. It's kind of an immediate transaction, but they've got a really good primary value proposition as a company, as an organization. So one of our first tests was, let's transcend the momentary. They just want something quick, and I know I'm being vague here, but just go with me, friend. It's like a quick, immediate information play. It's a content play. That turns into a subscription model. But we thought, let's transcend the immediate and talk about this amazing value proposition they have as an organization. We talked about, how big their content database is. We talked about how many people are currently subscribed there. We talked about just overall, and it's great content. That's what we led with, but it tanked. It didn't work. It wasn't valuable. We actually found out in that case that it wasn't the primary value proposition that was needed in that moment. These people weren't interested in a bigger transcendent product at this point. They needed needed the value of that instantaneous kind of transaction. In fact, what we found is having very little copy on that page was the most effective. From when it comes to their motivation level, having just kind of getting out of the way and letting them get instant access to that content was the best thing in that moment. And we would tease that more valuable content in the progression of the relationship with the organization over time. It wasn't effective to put that up front.
And that brings up a good point. So when we talk about what we want to lead with, we don't have to say it all at once.
Right.
Right. You have a few kids, just a few dozen, right, Austin?
I have just for the audience, because I'll probably get a few of these jokes. I have 4 boys, wonderful boys, and just the announcement to the audience, my wife is pregnant with our 5th, and it is a girl. So if at first you don't succeed, try again. So
well, congratulations. I think you also wisely scheduled that on-site team training for the day before that birth. So good luck with that.
But
when you come home, it's a great thing. I'm sure you have this.
Yeah.
You come home and your kids are excited something, and they try to tell you about their day, and they try to tell you all at once, right? They just pack it in.
It all happened.
Yeah.
And we can do that as marketers too, right? So you bring up a good point. Sometimes you maybe want to sequence that conversation you're having with the customer. That's why it's so important to know what to lead with.
Yes.
Because what are you leading with at this moment? And then what's the next thing you can tell them? The next thing and kind of build that totally conversation.
True. That's totally true. I don't know if it'd be appropriate to share this. There was a group we had that we're working with, and this will probably stir some debate, Dan. I don't know. We'll see. We had a test. So this was a group that was trying to drive leads. It's a research partner. It was an educational institute, and trying to drive leads for their education programs. And they had a great page, great FAQs on it. A lot of good, valuable information, but they weren't getting a whole lot of leads through this page. And so what we did, we wondered, are we actually giving them too much? Are we actually sharing too much? Is it kind of like you were describing, like we're just bombarding them with a lot of stuff? So we actually took all that valuable information in the FAQ, packaged it in a
PDF type of?
It was a PDF as a guide. It was an information guide. And we added some things to it. We designed it, looked really good. And we said basically, hey, learn more about this product, download the guide, download the prospect guide. And I forget what we named it. What we found is actually when we moved the FAQ stuff further down in the process, we got them to take that immediate motivation and kind of get them interested. They were more likely to give us their information and to raise their hand and say, I'm interested. And ultimately, actually, we had more enrollments from it in the long term as well. So you could think sometimes just giving them more information is what they're going to need. But to be totally honest with you, it's much more effective to really consider and to play with how much are you giving them when, especially if you're in a lead generation situation, when do you capture the lead? What do you use to capture the lead? Because that can make a big difference.
We can get overwhelmed as humans.
Yeah.
We can't process everything at once sometimes. So sometimes it is helpful for them to sequence and walk them through it.
Absolutely.
But I also kind of think, here's what I'm kind of guessing here.
Here he goes.
It could be just a lead quality and quantity thing. So for some companies, they might want to do the opposite. Get a lot of customers to disqualify themselves, give them a lot of information on the upfront because perhaps they don't have a big sales force or need many leads. And so they just want the leads coming through to be really high quality. Mm-hmm. For others, it might be more of a high touch where they really need that human experience and interaction. They're just trying to get them to take the first step and not disqualify themselves. Yeah. So they can have some more of that human counseling and conversation and really understand if it's a good fit.
I think this is one of those rare moments, I think, Dan, where I actually agree with you on this one. So
I'm a uniter.
You are a uniter today. I think you're right. I think this would be something you play with. I think probably most people, I warrant the reality that maybe there's some people who want less leads, but I think most people, most marketers are doing what they want to find ways to get more leads and they trust their ability to kind of nurture those leads. And you want to be careful about giving your customer too much information too quickly and also not guiding the conversation, not leading them. Too much unsupervised thinking, we say occasionally.
Yeah, it's true. What do you lead in the moment? What do you lead at the subject line, in the email? What do you lead in a landing page, in the subhead? So, it's interesting you talk about that test because I think also for, it was a very similar research partner, we found kind of the opposite result where in fact, a really long page worked better than the shorter page, right?
Yeah, that was interesting. This is something we share in our courses. Another shameless plug there. I think we show this to our students and they are completely surprised by it. We actually, because the phrase, keep the call to action above the fold. You know where that came from, Dan? Keep the call to action above the fold.
Came from newspapers. Right?
Came from newspapers. This is all about what do you lead with? Everyone says that, everyone thinks that, you've heard that. But this was a test where we had a control page that had the call to action above the fold. But it was this was an organization that, I don't know how you describe it, Dan. It was an organization that provided, what was it? I don't know how to describe it.
So a quick pause here. It took Austin about 27 minutes to figure out what industry that test was about. So while he's still figuring that out, I'm going to cut in and let you know, hey, if you're struggling with what to lead with for your overall product, your service offerings, for an individual email, for the entire value you're communicating for your company, we do have the Value Proposition On-Demand Certification Course. It'll help you clearly communicate an effective value proposition, work through an entire methodology that helps you answer some of these types of questions for your products, for your services. services and really get your whole team aligned, your whole marketing department aligned around the value communication and sequencing. You can see that at mechlabs.com/valueprop. That's mechlabs.com/valueprop. It's an on-demand course you can take at your own pace, and you can also get certified in value proposition. Okay, I think Austin is finally figuring out what industry that test was in. So let's hear what he has to say now.
So interesting test with, it was a medical group. They offered kind of rehab services for people. And, you know, their original page had the call to action above the fold. So it was a nice looking page. But because of the nature of the product, we hypothesized that, you know, people aren't ready to take the action above the fold. So, our analysts, they put together this page that was 3 times the length of the control. I mean, in terms of word quantity, it had to be at least like 20 times the amount of words. And we didn't put the call to action at the top. It was just at the bottom. And that page drove over 300% increase in leads. And so that was a very shocking example of what do you lead with? In this case, you led with a lot of information. And what we tell and talk to students about is, you know, you can't always get away with that. It all comes down to the nature of the product, the nature of the decision. In this case, we're dealing with people who are trying to consider, do I put family members through rehab? And this is a big, emotional, complex decision. We're talking about something that's incredibly costly as well. We've seen it go the other way. This is the way that we're most familiar with. Get out of the way and you know, reduce, and you'll get more conversions, make it more simple. And that typically works for quick transactional, free products, but the more complex, the more costly something is, the more you actually have to lead with. You've got to give yourself time to completely explain the value of the product.
Probably the level of anxiety too, right? Anxiety is one of those elements
that's huge.
That takes a little over explaining. I think the rehab, there's probably a lot of anxiety.
A lot of anxiety there. Absolutely.
So something else we talked about is kind of how much time you have with them.
Yeah.
Right. So I think in the rehab example, it's they are ready and dedicated to take a significant amount of time to research it, to learn about it, to find out, you know, what solution they want. But sometimes some other decisions are a lot quicker decision. They just want some pretty instant information,
yep.
Decide to move on to
yep.
act.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Would you say that's important?
I did say that was important already. Wait, what are you setting up?
Well, I'd say also, you know, when we're talking about this, something that comes to mind is pay-per-click advertising as well, right? So that's usually an area where you just have kind of a few moments with them. And I was reading, there's an interesting article on Search Engine Watch by Perna Vergi of Microsoft Bing. And she was using the MechLabs conversion heuristic.
Yeah.
To
that's awesome.
Talk about how to go through and use that for your PPC ads. And, you know, one of the things she talks about is the PPC ads, how can you get those key elements of the heuristic into the PPC ad in a quick way to get people to move on to take the next step? Because in that PPC ad, you just have a short amount of time.
Wow, that's a great question.
Right. And so sometimes I think in the case
Does your audience know what the conversion heuristic is?
Would you like to explain?
Well, I just wanted to make sure. So the just for those who hear the word heuristic.
It'll be in the show notes, but go on.
It'll be in the show notes, plug. The conversion heuristic is a methodology for trying to increase the probability of conversion. So there, you know, C equals 4M plus 3V plus 2I minus F minus 2A. All that represents, you know, elements, factors. It's a lot. And what she's asking, I guess, is how do you deal with all those elements? And is that correct to say, Dan? How do you deal with all those elements in a PPC ad? Something you have, you know, very few characters.
Yeah, because you know, the conversion heuristic helps us understand the probability of conversion and how to increase it. And so I'll just give you one quick example that she uses because, you know, really when it comes to PPC ad, you have maybe like two words to make
two
a statement or 3 words to make a statement. So a nice example she uses was to remove friction, the words fastest shipping, right? So she has one fastest shipping from 11 locations. So fastest shipping.
Yeah.
Right. So to add, you know, incentive and value prop is best selection. So, you know, some of these words, obviously you have to add the credibility factor. And that can add the additional words that you have to add to it. But in that PPC ad, you have such a small amount of time. What are you going to lead with? What are you going to talk about in those few words? And how can you convey that to the customer? I think one thing, I know we've done some PPC testing with, I believe it's a financial institution, where we had to look at also like, okay, that's a great way to test different elements of the offer.
Yeah.
I think in this case, it was maybe a checking count, looking at different elements of the offer and how can we test and what are the ones that are going to grab the customer instantly, because that will help in PPC, but that can also help in how else you communicate the value proposition to the customer.
Yeah. And I love the creativity of what that listener is doing with the PPC ad, but let me just release them from trying to have to address every element in a PPC ad, because that's going to drive you insane. Honestly, really the only way to address PPC, like friction, say for instance, in a PPC ad is to get it higher ranked, to make it easier to see. You don't really address the friction with the words or even the anxiety with the words of PPC ad. Really what the best thing you can do for a PPC ad is to hit on your value proposition. That core value proposition to get the click. It doesn't even have to be your value proposition for the product per se, but you know, the PPC ad, all you're trying to do there is achieve a click. You just want to give them enough value to do that. If you try to fit too much in there, you're actually going to dilute your clarity and you're going to hurt your value proposition. And so what we have found in our testing is that, you know, finding that one thing, maybe two, you know, one to two things that are central and core to why somebody would want to learn more or click to the next page to see more. That's what you lead with in that.
So I'm going to disagree by agreeing. Okay. Hear me
out
here.
Yes.
Hear me
out here.
So one example of shoes that I like is Zappos, right? And Zappos, one of the things Zappos did such a good job of was removing friction from the process with the like free two-way shipping for returns. And so in that sense, the process level value proposition of the PPC ad could be the friction reduction that they are about
to
see.
That's right. But, and so we're splitting hairs, but I think it's a great counterpoint. But what you're doing there is you're identifying the thing that makes your product unique. And it's a frictionless process or, you know, a less frictioned process. And so if that's the thing that is the most motivating to your prospect, then put that in your PPC ad. But don't feel like you have to have, your checklist. Okay, I dealt with motivation. I've dealt with value proposition. I've dealt with friction. I would just say in a PPC ad, figure out that thing that's most valuable. If it's a process thing about reducing friction, then go after that. But it may not be that. It may be the quality. You know, it may be the quality of your product. It might be the fact that you got awards. It might be the fact that you're about to give them the best. You know, where they can find the most helpful information. You know, there's a lot of different ways you could lead with the PPC ad. The one thing you don't want to lead in a PPC ad with is buy now, you know, what we talked about earlier.
And why are you making these points, Austin? Because PPC ad is a small amount of space and we have to determine what to lead with.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Can't lead with everything. Okay. Let's end with this. So logos and branding. So, you know, when we're talking about what to lead with, often we're talking about, look, I'm a writer. I love it. Words, right?
That's right.
Kind of like journalism.
That's
don't
right.
bury the lead.
That's
what's the
right.
headline?
Right.
What's the but subject
one of the
line?
First
what are the
things...
words in the PPC ads?
Yeah.
But before they see my beautiful words, what do they see, Austin?
They see your beautiful logo, Dan. They do. One of the first things that you're going to see in an organization or organization going to see about you is their logo. And not just their logo, but their style. The way they write the words, their colors, all that stuff. So,
and I know you've recently gone through an activity with a group in the travel industry.
That's right.
And I think one of the things when you're looking at the logo, when you're looking at, you know, what to do with the branding is you really are in a sense deciding, what are you going to lead with? What is that logo going to say most of all? Right.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I was most, you know, the thing that really struck me about all of that and all the research we did and all the testing we did is how subtle changes can have a massive impact on people. The subtle changes of colors and what the conclusions are drawn associated with that. With this group in particular, we were in the luxury space and my goodness, there are some really defined colors, which if you see them paired together, a light bulb goes off in your head and you're like, this is luxury. And if you cross those colors, you're going to foster a completely different conclusion. The most fascinating thing to me was even like the amount of space between the letters in your font. If those letters are too close, you're not luxurious. You're not sending the right signals. You're not leading with the right, you know, impression. Getting that kerning just right. And I know, you know, you designers and you guys have been screaming this for years. But you know, for us marketers, you got to realize that even something as simple, you know, this group we were working with, they put their logo together in like 2 hours. And they're this luxurious group, and they didn't really think about the conclusions they were fostering with something as simple and as forward as their logo. And so, yeah, I was real impressed with the team and what they came up with and the results we've been seeing from their customers.
So even with that, the branding, the visual design, probably even the imagery that you have on your site, what are you going to lead with? What is that going to say most of all?
That's huge. That's absolutely huge.
So, you know, Austin, I've been so focused on what do you lead with? I didn't think of how to end the podcast.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a wrap up and an end. So,
maybe we should talk about what you end with.
What do you end with?
What do you end with, Dan?
I think you end with a call to action, right?
I think so.
Leading leads up to ultimately asking for an action from the customer. I think that's true of branding. I think that's true of really any marketing, because I mean, that's the whole reason we're doing marketing, ultimately trying to get to an action.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is we're trying to be a bit more relational with our consumers. And I think if, to your point, to the thing that we led with, you know, if we can understand who we're talking to, not only from their motivations, but where they are in their conversations, I think that'll go a long way with figuring out what to lead with.
And I think at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is, so here's the role that I see the marketer has, right? So you have this whole company, and it really, what a company should just be is a value creation machine. It's just a big old factory of ideas and putting things together just to create value. And so it's the marketer's job to look at all the possibility of value creations and say, yes, this is where we should focus, or that's where we should focus. We should focus on this value for this customer in this way.
Yep.
And ultimately, that role that trickles to the entire rest of the company and should inform what they're creating and how they're communicating it to the customer. And that's what they lead with in a busy, noisy marketplace.
Yep. And at the end of the day, Dan, no, I'm just kidding. That's all I got.
Who will get the last word? Well, I got the first word in the What Should We Lead With podcast. So I'm happy with that. I'm going to be honest. This is about take four on our end. So we were so focused on what you lead with, we didn't do a good job putting into thinking what you end with. But we will say this. One, for
what
the path
say,
of
Dan?
The polar vortex, we really hope it went easy on
this
you.
This is true.
Also, write to us at editor@marketingsherpa.com. Let us know, you know, what other questions, whether debates you'd like to hear on the podcast, or yep, let us know how you decide what to lead with. Thanks for listening. So just finished listening and thinking, what can I do next? How can I use this information? How can I improve my results? Well, just go to marketingsherpa.com/results. We've got this great download for you, 21 charts and tools based on $500 million in carefully measured test wins. We'll give you an idea of how to model your customer's mind and also, you know, get a chance of to understand how you can work with us, Mech Labs, to help you directly improve your marketing performance. And with that, we don't need to tell them to subscribe and that stuff, right? They're marketers, they're digital, they know, right? Right, Rebecca?
I don't know about that, but I don't know what kind of marketers we would be if we didn't ask them to subscribe and include a call to action here at the end of the podcast. I think the other thing we should mention is, like almost everything we do here at Marketing Sherpa, this is technically an experiment. So we are rolling out this podcast for a couple months. We're going to be doing it regularly and producing a lot of really high quality content for our audience. But if we don't see that it's going to make an impact for us and for the people who are listening, we may not keep it going or do it as often. So if you're excited about what we're producing here, you want to hear more of it, you want to hear it more often, definitely subscribe. If you're on a platform that allows you to thumbs up or provide a star rating, please do so for us, because it lets us know that what we're doing here is meaningful to you and your marketing efforts for your customers. And that's really our ultimate goal. And we want to see those results and continue to help you grow. So that's kind of our call to action here.
Yeah, it's kind of meta. You know, we're teaching them how to improve results and how to measure their results better. And we're saying, like, hey, we eat our own dog food or drink our own champagne, whatever you want to call it, measuring our own results. At the end of the day, I'm not going to guilt trip them. You subscribe, don't subscribe, do whatever you want. I think Rebecca did mention, like, a kitten gets its wings or something every time you do subscribe or give a positive review. But
yes,
again, no guilt trips.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to guilt trip our audience. Please subscribe. We love doing this for you guys, and we think that it provides a lot of value to the people in our audience. And I would really love to keep doing it for you. And we can't unless we know that it's making an impact. So definitely let us know. And the best way to do that is with a subscribe click or a thumbs up or a 5-star rating on iTunes.
All right. Thanks for listening.